31. The Stillness Before. Smoke form for hiding and slipping tween men, a form of power, like surges of spren. Do we dare to wear this form again? It spies. Crafted of gods, this form we fear. But unmade, touch its curse to bear, formed from shadow, and death is near. It lies. From the Listener's Song of Secrets, 51st stanza. Kaladin led his troop of sore-tired men up to Bridge Four's barrack, and, as he'd secretly requested, the men got a round of cheers and welcoming calls. It was early evening, and the familiar scent of stew was one of the most inviting things Kaladin could imagine. He stepped aside and let the 40 men tromp past him. They weren't members of Bridge Four, but for tonight they'd be considered such. They held their heads higher, smiles breaking out as men passed them bowls of stew. Rock asked one how the patrolling had gone, and though Kaladin couldn't hear the soldier's reply, he could definitely hear the bellowing laughter it prompted from Rock. Kaladin smiled, leaning back against the barrack wall, folding his arms. Then he found himself checking the sky. The sun hadn't quite set, but in the darkening sky stars had begun to appear around Taln's scar. The Tear hung just above the horizon, a star much brighter than the others, named for the single tear that Rhea was said to have shed. Some of the stars moved, star-spren, nothing to be surprised by. But something felt odd about the evening. He breathed in deeply. Was the air stale?
Sir?
Kaladin turned. One of the bridgemen, an earnest man with short dark hair and strong features, had not joined the others at the stew cauldron. Kaladin searched for his name. Pitt, isn't it? Kaladin said.
Yes, sir,
the man replied.
Bridge 17.
What did you need?
I just...
The man glanced at the inviting fire, with members of Bridge 4 laughing and chatting with the patrol group. Nearby, someone had hung a few distinctive suits of armor on the barrack walls. They were carapace helms and breastplates, attached to the leathers of common bridgemen. Those had now been replaced with fine steel caps and breastplates. Kaladin wondered who had hung the old suits up. He hadn't even known that some of the men had fetched them. They were the extra suits that Layton had crafted for the men and stashed down in the chasms before being freed.
Sir,
Pitt said,
I just want to say that I'm sorry.
For?
Back when we were bridgemen,
Pitt raised a hand to his head.
Storms, that seems like a different life. I couldn't think rightly during those times. It's all hazy. But I remember being glad when your crew was sent out instead of mine. I remember hoping you'd fail, since you dared to walk with your chin up.
It's all right, Pitt, Kaladin said. It wasn't your fault. You can blame Sadius.
I suppose.
Pitt got a distant look on his face.
He broke us right good, didn't he, sir?
Yes.
Turns out, though, men can be reforged. I wouldn't have thought that.
Pitt looked over his shoulder.
I'm going to have to do this for the other lads of Bridge 17, aren't I?
With Teft's help, yes, but that's the hope, Kaladin said. Do you think you can do it?
I'll just have to pretend to be you, sir,
Pitt said. He smiled, then moved on, taking a bowl of stew and joining the others. These 40 would be ready soon, ready to become sergeants to their own teams of bridgemen. The transformation had happened more quickly than Kaladin had hoped.
Taft, you marvelous man, he thought. You did it.
Where was Taft, anyway? He'd gone on the patrol with them, and now he'd vanished. Kaladin glanced over his shoulder, but didn't see him. Perhaps he'd gone to check on some of the other bridge crews. He did catch Rock shooing away a lanky man in an Ardent's robe. What was that? Kaladin asked, catching the Horn-Eater as he passed.
That one, Rock said, keeps loitering here with sketchbook.
wants to draw bridgemen. Ha! Because we are famous, you see.
Kaladin frowned. Strange actions for an Ardent, but then all Ardents were strange to an extent. He let Rock return to his stew and stepped away from the fire, enjoying the peace. Everything was so quiet out there in the camp, like it was holding its breath. The patrol seems to have worked out, Sigzil said, strolling up to Kaladin. Those men are changed. Funny what a couple of days spent marching as a unit can do to soldiers, Kaladin said. Have you seen Taft?
No, sir,
Sigzil said. He nodded toward the fire.
You'll want to get some stew. We won't have much time for chatting tonight.
Aye, Storm, Kaladin realized. It seemed like too soon since the last one, but they weren't always regular, not in the way he thought of it. The Storm Wardens had to do complex mathematics to predict them. Kaladin's father had made a hobby of it. Perhaps that was what he was noticing. Was he suddenly predicting high storms because the night seemed too... something? You're imagining things, Kaladin thought. Shrugging off his fatigue from the extended ride in March, he went over to get some stew. He'd have to eat quickly. He'd want to go join the men guarding Dalinar and the king during the storm. The men from the patrol cheered him as he filled his bowl.
Shallan sat on the rattling wagon and moved her hand over the sphere on the seat beside her, palming it and dropping another. Tin raised an eyebrow. I heard the replacement hit. Drynets, Shallan said. I thought I had it. Drynets? It's a curse, Shallan said, blushing. I heard it from the sailors. Shallan, do you have any idea at all what that means? Like, for fishing? Shallan said. The nets are dry, maybe? They haven't been catching any fish, so it's bad? Tin grinned. Dear, I'm going to do my very best to corrupt you. Until then, I think you should avoid using sailor curses. Please. All right. Shallan passed her hand over the sphere again, swapping the spheres. No clink. Did you hear that? Or, did you not hear that? It didn't make a noise. Nice, Tin said, getting out a pinch of some kind of mossy substance. She began rubbing it between her fingers, and Shallan thought she saw smoke rising from the moss. You are getting better. I also feel like we should figure out some way to use that drawing talent of yours. Shallan already had an inkling of how it would come in handy. More of the former deserters had asked her for pictures. You've been working on your accents? Tin asked, eyes glazing as she rubbed the moss. I have indeed, my good woman, Shallan said with a Thalen accent. Good. We'll get around to costuming once we have more resources. I, for one, am going to be very amused to watch your face when you have to go out in public with that hand of yours uncovered. Shallan immediately pulled her safe hand up to her breast. What? I warned you about difficult things, Tin said, smiling in a devious way. West of Marat, almost all women go out with both hands uncovered. If you're going to go to those places and not stand out, you'll have to be able to do as they do. It's immodest, Shallan said, blushing furiously. It's just a hand, Shallan, Tin said. Storms, you Vorins are so prim. That hand looks exactly like your other hand. A lot of women have breasts that aren't much more pronounced than male ones, Shallan snapped. That doesn't make it right for them to go out wearing no shirt like a man would. Actually, in parts of the Reshi Isles and Eyrie, it's not uncommon for women to walk about topless. It gets hot up there. Nobody minds. I rather like it myself. Shallan raised both hands to her face, one clothed, one not, hiding her blush. You're doing this just to provoke me. Yeah, Tin said, chuckling. I am. This is the girl that scammed an entire troop of deserters and took over our caravan? I didn't have to go naked to do that, Good thing you didn't, Tin said. You still think you're experienced and worldly? You blush at the mere mention of exposing your safe hand. Can't you see how it's going to be hard for you to run any kind of productive scam? Shallan took a deep breath. I guess. Showing your hand off isn't going to be the toughest thing you need to do, Tin said, looking distant. Not the toughest by a breeze or a storm wind. What? Shallan asked. Tin shook her head. We'll talk about it later. Can you see those war camps yet? Shallan stood up on her seat, shading her eyes against the setting sun in the west. To the north, she saw a haze, hundreds of fires, no, thousands, seeping darkness into the sky. Her breath caught in her throat. We're there. Call camp for the night, Tin said, not moving from her relaxed position. It looks like it's only a few hours away, Shallan said. We could push on and arrive after nightfall, then be forced to camp anyway, Tin said. Better to arrive fresh in the morning. Trust me. Shallan settled down, calling for one of the caravan workers, a youth who walked barefoot, his calluses must be frightening, alongside the caravan. Only those senior among them rode. Ask Trademaster Makob what he thinks of stopping here for the night, Shallan said to the young man. He nodded, then jogged up the line, passing lumbering chulls. You don't trust my assessment? Tin asked, sounding amused. Trademaster Makob doesn't like being told what to do, Shallan said. If stopping is a good move, perhaps he'll suggest it. It seems like a better way to lead. Tin closed her eyes, face toward the sky. She still held one hand up, absently rubbing moss between her fingers. I might have some information for you tonight. About? Your homeland. Tin cracked an eye. Though her posture was lazy, that eye was curious. That's nice, Shallan said, noncommittal. She tried not to say much about her home or her life there. She also hadn't told Tin about her trip, or about the sinking of the ship. The less Shallan said about her background, the less likely that Tin would realize the truth about her new student. It's her own fault for jumping to conclusions about me, Shallan thought. Besides, she's the one teaching me about pretending. I shouldn't feel bad about lying to her. She lies to everyone. Thinking that made her wince. Tin was right. Shallan was naive. She couldn't help feeling guilty about lying, even to a professed con woman. I'd have expected more from you, Tin said, closing her eye. Considering. That provoked Shallan, and she found herself wiggling on her seat. Considering what? She finally asked. So you don't know, Tin said. I thought as much. There are many things I don't know, Tin, Shallan said, exasperated. I don't know how to build a wagon, I don't know how to speak Irialli, and I certainly don't know how to prevent you from being annoying. Not that I haven't tried to figure out all three. Tin smiled, eyes closed. Your Vaden king is dead. Hanavanar? Dead? She'd never met the High Prince, let alone the king. The monarchy was a far-off thing. She found that it didn't particularly matter to her. His son will inherit, then? He would, if he weren't dead, too. Along with six of Yakaved's high princes. Shallan gasped. They say it was the assassin in white, Tin said softly, eyes still closed. The Shin man, who killed the Alethi king 6 years back. Shallan pushed through her confusion. Her brothers, were they all right? Six high princes. Which ones? If she knew that, it might tell her how her own princedom was faring. I don't know for certain, Tin said. Yal Mala and Evanor for sure, and probably Abriel. Some died in the attack, others before that, though the information is vague. Getting any kind of reliable information out of Vaidnar these days is tough. Valam, he still lives? Her own High Prince. He was fighting for the succession, reports say. I have my informants sending me word tonight via span read. Might have something for you then. Shallan settled back. The king dead? A succession war? Stormfather. How could she find out about her family and their estate? They were nowhere near the capital, but if the entire country was consumed by war, it could reach even to the backwater areas. There was no easy way to reach her brothers. She'd lost her own span reed in the sinking of the Wind's Pleasure. Any information would be appreciated, Shallan said. Any at all. We'll see. I'll let you come by for the report. Shallan settled back to digest this information. She suspected I didn't know, but didn't tell me until now. Shallan liked Tin, but had to remember that the woman made a profession of hiding information. What else did Tin know that she wasn't sharing? Ahead, the caravan youth walked back down the line of moving wagons. As he reached Shallan, he turned and walked beside her vehicle. Makeup says you are wise to ask, and says we should probably camp here. The war camps each have secure borders, and aren't likely to let us in during the night. Beyond that, he is uncertain if we could reach the camps before tonight's storm. To the side, eyes still closed, Tin grinned. We camp, then, Shallan said.